Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. WNBA star Brittany Griner is back home in Arizona. Griner was recovering at a Texas military hospital following her release from a Russian prison. Griner took to social media to address her love for everyone and their support. The basketball star intends to play once again for the Phoenix Mercury next season. A man from Florida has been facing charges for allegedly hitting his wife with a Christmas tree. Police say the incident happened when the wife asked for help making dinner, which led to an argument, which then escalated to the man throwing the tree. Arizona Independent Senator Kristen Sinema has been filing paperwork to run for re-election in 2024 as an independent. Sinema says she's leaving the Democratic Party to become independent. Two new technology companies have been going up in Arizona, offering 500,000 total private sector jobs, all created under Arizona Republican Governor Doug Ducey. The businesses are looking to build two plants by 2024 and 2026. If you have ideas for a local news story, you could always send us an email. That email is newsroom@yumadailynews.com. Go ahead and send us your story and we'll take a look. That's news for now. I'm Kendra White.
Would you look at the time? It's tax time. You already know H&R Block does taxes, but here's what you may not know when you file with H&R Block, like how you can get expert help in person or virtually. Plus, our tax pros average 10 years of experience. You can even request to work with the same tax pro every year, and your biggest possible refund is always guaranteed. No one offers more ways to help with your taxes than H&R Block. At H&R Block, help is here.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Life, Death, and Law, 560 AM KBLU. I'm attorney Adam Hanson, and I'm in the studio today with the one and only Sean Garner, my partner and attorney. And we've got Cody Beeson running the board and pushing buttons and doing what he does best. And if you don't know yet or remember, I'm here to remind you, Sunday is Christmas. So if you haven't finished your shopping, you better get out there and get going. Or order that stuff on Amazon and rush it to your house because it's coming on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
And so if you're not ready for it, I like me, then now's the time to start if you're going to. Every year we're like, kids, we're not doing presents this year. Surprise, we're going to do an experience. And that never goes over well. But the experiences always work out. This year we said the same thing. I just haven't figured out what that experience is going to be, and I've got a week to do so. So we're kind of in hot water now at my house. It's kind of crunch time, but we'll get there.
I was going to ask, are you surprised when the kids open their presents too? Like, oh yeah, I got you that too.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't, but my wife gets some stuff still, you know. And I thought we're going to do an experience here, but I guess the experience is you get presents and you get experiences. You get whatever you want nowadays.
I picked up on what you were saying, and yes, the answer is yes. When the kids look at me and say, Dad, oh, thank you. And I go, oh, wow, that was very generous of us. And I look at the wife, and have no idea that what was in the present until the kid opened it. Yeah.
Whatever. It worked.
Yeah.
So my wife recently got back from Hawaii. She didn't take me with her. She didn't want me around. No, just kidding. She asked me to go. I was like, no, I'm too busy at work. And so she went ahead and went without me, and with her sister. I'm not going to make it sound like, you know, she just left. But she did with her sister. And they had a fun time in Maui for like a week. And so prior to this, I made a joke to the kids one night before she left. I said, yeah, sorry, kids. There's no Christmas this year because mom's going to Hawaii. So... And so while she was gone, I heard it 2 or 3 times from my kids, like not to me directly. I could hear them talking to each other. Oh man, mom's in Hawaii, so we don't get Christmas this year. I'm like, perfect. It was a joke, but it really worked and they understand. So I set very low expectations for this Christmas. And hopefully that works out for me because we're up against the wire. But my wife, she tries to convince me. So she gets to Hawaii, she gets to Maui, and she's like, this place is paradise. And, you know, the days are going by. And every day she's reporting back how awesome it was and how it's paradise and stuff like that. Until day number 3, when she says, oh, they rushed us out of the water today. The beach that we're at, that where we're staying, there was a shark attack. And I was like, that's why I don't go to Hawaii. Apparently Maui has the most shark attacks out of any place in the world. It's like a hotbed for tiger sharks to attack.
I really hope my kids aren't listening to the show.
Oh, that's true, because you're going pretty soon.
I'm leaving literally on Thursday.
Yeah. So there are certain reefs you don't want to go around, or you might be chomped by a tiger shark. So just basically, my wife was about to go snorkeling, just like she'd done in the days earlier. And for whatever reason, she didn't get in the water. She wanted to get her hair braided or something before she got in. So she had one of her nieces start to do that. And then all of a sudden, helicopters are all over the place. Lifeguards and Coast Guard were all around. And so as they asked around, they said, oh, yeah, there was a shark attack right over there about 70 yards off the beach on that reef. And she was just snorkeling in that area the day before. She saw huge, like 5-foot sea turtles underneath on that reef. And so lo and behold, the next day there was a husband and a wife snorkeling, and the husband sees the shark and quickly tries to get to the beach. The first reports were like he had to fight it off. I don't know if that's true or not, but there was a couple from Washington State. And so he gets to the beach and realizes, oh, my wife's not with me. And so, they start the search and rescue for her and never found her. And I think a couple of days later, her bathing suit washed up on shore and her snorkel gear and stuff like that. So just be careful, Sean, when you go to Hawaii, when you go to Maui.
Hey.
Merry Christmas.
I have my affairs in order.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I feel okay. My kids, that would be a damper on the vacation to come home with less.
I don't think sharks are in the business of eating kids. I think they want bigger stuff.
Okay.
Like, you know, people that flail around that look sickly. I think that's what they go after.
You just have to be faster than the wife.
That's me.
Not strong swimmers.
Yeah.
That's what I think would happen.
Yeah, I mean, look like an injured seal when I'm swimming. Yeah.
So just keep your eyes peeled, you know. It doesn't matter. If they want you, they're going to get you. So whether you try to see them or not, you're not going to, and they're going to come get you. But Merry Christmas, Sean. Have fun in Hawaii.
Thank you.
So today we're talking about some very important things. One of the biggest things that's been on my mind is a case that came out of Colorado that the Supreme Court recently heard. And I don't want you to tune out here. I don't want you to hear what I'm saying and be like, oh my gosh, he's going to talk about the Supreme Court. Boring. No, but this case is very relevant. And the case basically, in basic facts, is about this individual that runs a website in Colorado and creates websites for other people so they can be commissioned to create custom websites for this other for people that come to them. This LGBTQ person or people came to them to create a custom site that promulgated that type of information.
It was a gay couple.
And
okay, so sorry to interrupt your
go for it.
Your story here, but
no, you're
I have a hard time when they lump everybody in, a transgender with a bisexual and a gay in a couple, because those are totally different people. And just like I don't want to be coupled in with individuals say, well, you know, he is such and such. Let's just go by faith. I'm of the LDS faith, and you say, well, you're the same as, you know, the Catholics and the Protestants and everybody else out there. Well, we're a bit different. There are some nuances to it. And I think even more so with, you know, sexual orientation, you have got a gay couple and they just happen to have an attraction to the same sex. Where bisexual, now you have attraction to two or both genders, and that's very, very different. And then you got transgender, which is very different than that. That's, you don't even identify as one or the other, or you identify as something opposite of what you were born as. But anyway, this was a gay couple. We'll call them Mike and Harry. They wanted to get married. Continue.
So they go to this individual that, and they said, hey, we need this custom website built, and the individual refuses to do so. Basically, on moral terms, they religious terms, let's say, in the sense that they said, well, that goes against what I believe, and I don't, in my closely held convictions, I don't want to create a site that promulgates something that I don't, that personally I don't believe in, and it goes contrary to what I believe in, ethically and morally and religiously, let's say. So anyway, they sue because in Colorado there's anti-discrimination laws that say that you can't do that. You can't discriminate based on gender or sex and sexual orientation. And so this went through the court system in Colorado all the way up through the circuit courts and the district courts and then the appeal court, and now it's arrived at the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court recently held a hearing on it and heard the oral arguments. And I bring this topic up because as I heard these arguments being given, both sides of this, my biggest question was, wait a second, what does a government have to do with me discriminating against somebody? Why are they getting involved in that? If I want to discriminate against somebody, can't I do that?
Yeah. And you do it by saying, yeah, the price is $1 million. It's $100,000 for your website. And then they go away. I mean, the reason we got here, I think they just want to fight in court. They wanted to take it to this level because it didn't need to go here.
Obviously, both sides want to make sure that their interests are protected here. And the way that you do that is you take it all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court felt like this is a case that we need to decide on because the law is unsettled in this particular area. That's what the court generally does. They don't just take any case that comes to them. They're going to take a case that has relevance across the United States because it's going to be binding across the United States once they rule on that particular case. So in this case, you've got the gay couple that has an interest securing themselves as a class that's legally protected against anti-discrimination, or excuse me, against discrimination. And so they're trying to bolster the power of anti-discrimination laws in particular states or on the federal level to extend that to not only government action, but to private action. So in this particular case, we have private actors that are involved here, and you've got the government involved because Colorado promulgated this anti-discrimination law, and that's what the gay couple is using to sue this private actor that creates websites. So you've got the interconnection between the government, because it's a law that they promulgated in Colorado against the private citizen that creates websites that says this goes against my closely held beliefs, which violate my express written rights under our Constitution in the First Amendment, and freedom of speech and freedom to express your religion. And so we've got this whole battle going on. And so how is the court going to decide this? Are they going to bolster this class that was created through the court system that's not in the Constitution, that if you're in this particular class of LGBTQ, then you have certain rights or you're going to be protected more so than me? And this conversation came up, Sean and I were talking about this the other day, right? And we brought it up and you said, why aren't people that are in a traditional marriage protected? Isn't that the most sacred of all unions that can create a child and rear that child to become a better person and thereby create a better society for all of us? And yet it's not protected.
Or at least as sacred as the other protected entities and groups. I think that a traditional family should not be looked at as less valuable than a gay family. or a non-traditional family. And that's where it's fallen to. I don't think that white Christian males should be looked at as the dregs of society that don't get any rights, that don't get any protection. But that's what it's fallen to. You can attack a white Christian male, especially if he's straight, but you can't attack any minority group. And that's the problem that I have with it. It's, we firmly believe that all men are created equal. But we've taken that concept and we've twisted it to make individuals that have minority views or practice minority lifestyles and given them greater equality. So we're all created equal, but some are more equal, apparently, than others. And if you read in George Orwell's Animal Farm, you see that coming true. It's, you know, the pigs are obviously more equal than the horse and the sheep and the others. And that's the problem that I have with it. I think that this business owner should have the right to say, you know what, your marriage to, you know, you're a 50-year-old guy and you're marrying this 13-year-old girl. I don't want to advertise that wedding. I choose not to. Now, that is a man and a woman being married. And, you know, 1,000 years ago, that was perfectly acceptable. Even today in certain countries, that's acceptable. But to her personally, that's not acceptable. And I would say even regardless of religion, it just goes against her moral compass. And so whether she says that it's with that particular celebration of their union, or whether it's a gay couple, or whether it's a transgender, or anything, she's got the right to say what she's going to do. And I think the 13th Amendment protects that. There's a whole bunch of rights that are literally constitutional rights. We don't have to read between the lines in the Constitution. The 13th Amendment outlaws slavery. What is slavery? It's compelling labor, right? And so if you're compelling somebody to do something, to work, then that's against the 13th Amendment. And it's also compelling speech, which is contrary to the First Amendment, which if I'm compelled to speak, then I'm compelled to give a message that I don't want to, and that violates my right to deliver whatever message I do want to give. Because if I'm giving one I don't, then I only have a limited amount of time and space to talk, and that means I'm limited in the speech that I want to give, and also my religion. If I'm compelled to practice or to advocate for and to advertise certain, you know, the marriage in this case that is contrary to my religion, then I'm not free to practice my religion.
These laws really came about, I think, wasn't it in the 60s, Sean? Like 1968, I believe, the Civil Rights Act was passed by the federal government.
64.
And so there's two big legislative pieces of the puzzle here, and it really came out of the 60s, 70s, where the federal government tried to, well, they not tried, they did. They created anti-discrimination laws through legislation, through our Congress, to protect on the basis of sex, and then I want to say
race, color, religion, sex, and national origin.
There you go. And so, and then once that was created, now you start categorizing people. And what's come out of that is now we start adding different categories. You start adding different boxes to fit into all that. And to me, that's a very slippery slope. And we're now experiencing that slippery slope in the sense that once you begin putting people into a box, you alienate others. So we talked about the traditional family unit that consists of a man and a woman that get married and they have children and they rear those children to hopefully be good citizens in our society. Why aren't they protected? If that's the central traditional way of doing things and that has worked over the course of centuries, why aren't we protecting that? But it's not in the protected classes, like you mentioned, Sean. Why? Because they've been alienated, because we're all focused on these other classes that have been promulgated by our government. And the government says, well, if you are a female, then you can't be discriminated against. If you are black, or you can't be discriminated against because you're black or you're white. Or if I try to go rent an apartment and I have children and I get denied because that landlord says, no, I don't want children in here, then that's discriminatory and they can't do that. So I could sue them, right? So based on family unit size, there's all sorts of different classes and groups that we've been categorized in except for the traditional marriage of man and woman. And so once you start to categorize people, you're inevitably going to alienate people. That's just what happens. And they don't have the same protections as these other categories do, that the government now not only created these classes and promulgated these protections, but now they've also alienated others that don't have those same protections. And that, in my opinion, is just wrong. I think we should live in a society where if I want to discriminate, if I want to call Cody something, call him a name, going back to our school days, elementary school. If you go to the playground on elementary school, any given elementary school in the United States, you're going to hear very bad things said to other people based on race, sex, religion, and
based on the shoes you're wearing, Adam.
Yeah, status or class.
Yeah,
and that's real life.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when you become an adult, now you have to suppress what you actually are thinking and not say it. And maybe that's good, maybe that's bad, but I don't think the government has a role in that. If I want to call Cody anything I want because of his sex, religion, or race, I think I should be able to do that, free from the government intervening and throwing me in jail or fining me. Because the natural consequence of that is that maybe people don't want to be around me. Maybe I lose friends. Maybe Cody tells other people and I lose business. So there are natural consequences to me doing something like that, but let that play out in the natural sphere of things, in the natural society. I don't need the government to put in action anti-discrimination laws to protect Cody. Let Cody be a grown-up man and take it, right?
I hear you. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, because you've said some really vile things to me. No, just kidding.
And they've been off air. Yeah,
yeah. No, I'm just teasing. We got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and the Law. We'll be right back after this.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
We'll stay on the western side of that low pressure, and with that, we are going to see temperatures pretty much on average here as we go through the next couple of days, and then we'll start a little bit of a warming trend while much of the nation goes under the frigid Arctic air. Now, we are headed up to the mid to upper 60s with sunshine. Tonight, partly cloudy, 41. Tomorrow, early clouds, gradual clearing, mid to upper 60s, close to 70 for Wednesday. I'm Jeff Eno at the Weather Channel.
Basic business marketing is a two-step process. Step one is strategy. Step two, tactics. Decide on strategy before moving to tactics. The why is more important than the how. Most do it backwards. They decide on where before they decide on why. They commit to where for the wrong reasons and then scramble to execute the why. Remember, no one cares what you do until they know why you do it. Figure out the why first. Need some help with that? Talk to one of our marketing experts who can help your business right now. Make a free fact-finding appointment today at yumaadvertising.com.
If you came across a child struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them?
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America.
Ivy Leaguers are looking for more pass-fail options. Back in 1 minute with your politics question of the day.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. That's 800-648-9175.
Two Ivy League students are pushing to make the Medical College Admissions Test, or MCAT, pass or fail. Harvard med student Alessandro Hammond and UPenn grad student Cameron Sabe say a pass-fail exam would stop white applicants with wealth, resources, and access to books and coaches from retaking the $330 exam. And further, a pass-fail exam would force colleges to value the whole applicant rather than a single test score. Question: if you were going under the knife, would you seek out a surgeon who received a pass-fail on the MCAT? Or would you look for a doc who aced it?
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Sean Garner, and we are estate planning attorneys. I've got Adam Hanson here sitting across the desk from me, and I got Cody Beeson. And we talk a lot about what we believe in the realm of politics. Are we qualified to talk about this? Maybe yes, maybe no. But I think that a common sense approach is lacking in the political conversation, and the mainstream media doesn't cover things that ought to be covered, such as just the basic approach. So, Cody, in your mind, what were the Civil Rights Acts all about in 1964? What was the purpose of it?
Well, I mean, I think we are getting there in the sense that, you know, we shouldn't have two bathrooms. We shouldn't have separate water fountains, those sort of things. So I get where there was a place and time where that was our that happened in our country.
Segregation.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, they're called the Jim Crow laws, and they're all about segregation. There's black schools and there's white schools. This was in the South. And the argument was, hey, separate but equal. Everybody is equal under the law, but we can still have laws that don't allow certain races to drink from certain drinking fountains or go to the same restrooms or even participate at the same restaurants. And so the Civil Rights Act says, no, you can't discriminate based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. And those, Adam, you've brought up several times here, are immutable characteristics. You're born with them. And you can't change those. And so you should not be discriminated against in the United States because of those characteristics. Now, what we've fallen into it through this slippery slope is a whole bunch of characteristics. That, I mean, the very phrase gender fluid is descriptive of something that is not something that is innate. It is fluid. And not immutable. And so since it's fluid, then if somebody is getting greater rights because of their identification and their ability to identify from one gender to the next or continue the fluidity, then they can just choose whatever group of people gets the larger amounts of rights and respect and identify with that group. But really honest people that are trying to contribute to society and make it in America and actually realize the American dream the way that we ought to by hard work and our credentials would never do that. We wouldn't just affiliate with a minority group just for the purpose of accelerating our climb to the top in America. We would actually do it through just working hard and identifying about who we are. And I think that because that should be true for one person, that doesn't become gender fluid or race fluid or even, I don't know, I think it can be species fluid now, right? You can identify as a furry.
Yep.
Since one person doesn't do that, they should not be discriminated against because of their lack of minority status.
Getting back to these Jim Crow laws, as you call them, Sean, the purpose of those were really to prevent segregation, allowing water fountains, for example, to be used by all people, not just by white people in the South, allowing black people to sit anywhere they want on a particular bus. So there was a purpose behind those laws to castigate a person that would violate that particular law by not allowing a person to drink out of a particular water fountain or ride on the bus or sit where they want on this particular bus because of their race. I go back to my argument, and because Sean, when you were talking, what my thought was, okay, so Sean is kind of on board with that kind of Jim Crow or anti-discrimination law if it's kept within bounds.
And okay, so Jim Crow is a discriminatory law, and
yeah.
anti-discrimination is the opposite.
Yeah. Just,
I'm not in favor of Jim Crow laws.
Yeah, I said that wrong. That's what I meant. It was anti-discrimination laws. But it sounds like the 1964 legislation that we've been talking about, you're kind of on board with that, if kept within bounds. But what happened was it kind of grew too big. And my argument is I disagree with it at all. I don't need the government to tell me to not be discriminatory. I can be discriminatory if I want to be discriminatory, and the natural consequences will play out. So I might lose business, I might lose friends, I might be, you know, publicly scorned, but I don't need government to intervene in my life to say that, oh, Adam, what you said was really bad, and now you're going to be fined or imprisoned, or you have to create this website for this couple that you really don't agree with their lifestyle, because if you don't, it's discriminatory. And we've already said that if you do something like that, then you're in big trouble.
Right. So it's the whole thing where the government goes in to fix one thing, and they create two more problems for every problem that they solve. For example, the problem was racial discrimination, and it was law that was discriminatory. The law was that you couldn't sit in a restaurant with a white person if you were a black person, or you couldn't be alone if you were a black male with a white female. And those were laws. You couldn't, there were laws against interracial marriage. And that was a law. And so what you're saying is, okay, the 1964 Civil Rights Act not only voided those laws, but it went the other direction. And it said you cannot discriminate regardless. And that was too far. So what should have happened is you can't make a law that is discriminatory. The government cannot make a discriminatory law, just as the government cannot embrace one religion. But the government should not ban religion. And so in the same sense, the government cannot ban discrimination. We are allowed to be free. That means we're allowed to be jerks. We're allowed to be discriminatory. We're allowed to be racist. I don't think it's a good thing, just as I don't think it's a good thing to be lazy, but it is my right to be lazy and to starve to death, or it's my right to work hard and become wealthy. That is what freedom is all about. And so when we make laws that govern our conscience and our ability to embrace other people of diverse backgrounds, what we're really doing is we're displacing what our moral judgment is with what somebody else's is that is elected to a political office, and supplanting what we should be doing for ourselves and being good, honest, and moral people, and just following like sheep laws that are dictated from above.
And I think the danger in that is once you get the government involved, the government doesn't have a moral compass. It's an entity. It doesn't serve God. It doesn't go to church. In fact, they stay out of that kind of stuff. They have to constitutionally. So when you have a government telling you what our moral compass should be, when it doesn't have a moral compass, that's the challenge. And that's what my argument is I think you said it really well, Sean, in the sense that what should have happened, instead of legislation to protect these classes, what should have happened was those Jim Crow laws should have been found unconstitutional, just because the government shouldn't be able to create a law that discriminates among classes or people at all. They shouldn't be involved in that. And if a restaurant owner didn't want black people in their particular restaurant, I argue that there doesn't need to be a law that says that no black person shouldn't be in that restaurant, like the Jim Crow laws were. Rather, it should have been more like the Jim Crow laws shouldn't have ever been constitutional. That's
right.
It.
And so they should have reversed the Jim Crow laws and stopped.
That's
it. But they can't stop. They must continue to go forward. And so as soon as they go forward, then they create laws of equal rights, right? And so then they dictate what is an equal right. And as long as the government is not participating in the discrimination, that's as far as it can go. It cannot force me not to discriminate without taking away my freedom. And those are the fundamental rights, that life, liberty, and property are fundamental rights that cannot be taken away by the government or any group of people. And again, we'll take one more step back. If a group of people can't do it, or if an individual could not do it, then the government can't do it, because we are a government of the people. Therefore, the government can only do what an individual could do, and collectively a group of individuals could do. A government doesn't have more power or authority than any one person or group of individuals. Just because it's the government, it doesn't get put on a higher level than the individual. In fact, that's exactly the contradiction of what the Founding Fathers wanted. They wanted the individual to be the highest and the government to be the servant. And so if an individual can't force you to serve somebody that you don't want to serve at your restaurant, or to provide a website service for someone that you don't want to provide it for, if I can't go in and force you to do it, then I can't delegate that authority to the government. I can't delegate authority that I don't possess myself. We need to take a break. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Voted Yuma's best new vehicle dealer in 2021, Bill Alexander Ford wants to be your best choice for 2022. During our holiday sales event, you can take advantage of our growing inventory of F-Series trucks and world-class SUVs like Expedition, Explorer, Edge, Escape, and EcoSport, with offers as low as 0.9% for up to 66 months on FlexBuy. Own the off-road and exciting Bronco or Bronco Sport. Mustang Mach 1 and GT could really make your holiday bright. Vote for us, your only locally owned dealer for Yuma's best. Visit online at BillAlexanderFord.com today. Difference you can count on.
Is your prostate secretly being destroyed without you knowing it? All the ads for these prostate pills, like Super Beta Prostate, Saw Palmetto, Prostastream, Prostagenix, and others, want to know which pills work and which are garbage? Now you can. Get a free copy of the new guide, Prostate Secrets, that pulls back the curtain on the prostate pill industry. Learn what is really in these pills. Which pill has over 987 adverse event reports filed against it with the FDA? It's shocking. Learn the one food to avoid that is a prostate killer, and discover the three so-called health foods that destroy your prostate. Get your free copy at ProstateSecrets.com. That's ProstateSecrets.com. This free guide will show you how to end your prostate problems without drugs or surgery, five important things to do to protect your prostate, and much more. Warning, this guide is controversial and may be offensive to some readers as it pulls no punches. So go to ProstateSecrets.com. ProstateSecrets.com. That's ProstateSecrets.com.
A flower to feed the world? Back in 1 minute with your food chain question of the day.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer. And again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. That's 800-648-9175.
According to research from the University of Tokyo, a color-changing flower used in traditional Chinese medicine to relieve swelling may hold the key to feeding the world. The flower, Cassonis japonica, relies on carotenoids to switch colors from orange to bright pink to orange. Researchers say the color-switching flower demonstrates the most rapid accumulation of carotenoids ever seen in plants. It opens the door to developing carotenoid-containing vegetables that mature faster and contain more nutrients. Question: which source of carotenoids do you favor? Carrots, sweet potatoes, or tomatoes?
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back. This is 560 AM, KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Sean Garner. I'm in studio with attorney Adam Hanson and Cody Beeson. We do estate planning. We help people get their affairs in order. Essentially, the long and short of it is we help them manage their property while they're alive, allow it to continue to be managed when they become incapacitated without government interference, and then allow it to pass on to whoever they feel is appropriate, whether it's their children or their favorite charitable organization or whatever entity they wanted to give it to without government intervention. That's the whole idea of our law practice. And so if you want to learn more about how you can manage your assets and then have them pass along to maintain your legacy when you pass away, please call us at 928-783-4466. Let's get back into the government staying out of our lives. Every time the government gets involved, it makes things more complicated. We talked about it with the Civil Rights Act. It should have stopped at reversing the Jim Crow laws and allowing people to continue on, heal by integrating and working with one another and allowing people to achieve based on merits. I think sports is just such a wonderful demonstration of this. If you look at what has happened through just the last century in sports, baseball used to be all white. And then we had Jackie Robinson, right? We've got boxing, which is primarily white in early 1900s and certainly in the 1800s. And then we had a lot of minorities and particularly black individuals becoming very famous boxers. And right now, you know, one of the best boxers of all time. I would say probably even if you were to make a list of top 10 boxers of all time, a majority of them would be probably African-American or Latino. It continues on with basketball and with football. And I don't think that anybody in their right mind would look at a football team that is 90% black and say, that's racist. That's discriminatory. Where is the diversity there? We need to have some more Asians on that team. We need to have some more Latinos on that team. We need to have some more white people on that team. We need to have some more females on that team. That's ludicrous. Those people that are playing on the field are there because they earned their position. The coach didn't look at where they grew up. The coach didn't look at whether they were in poverty. The coach looked at, can they run? Can they tackle? Can they throw? Great, you're on our team. And I think that in America, we need to apply that because in every facet, in every industry, we need people that are smart, that can innovate, that can think on their feet. And that doesn't come in a particular gender or race or ethnicity or national origin. It comes from people that are allowed to exchange ideas freely without fear of being canceled, without fear of persecution because they may have misspoken or some idea that they had a particular point of time when they were trying to develop a concept was contrary to some arbitrary law out there that banned hate speech and continues to group more and more words and vocabulary into this huge group of hate speech. So I think that merit-based prosperity is the way that this country was developed and reached the level and the heights that it has. And as soon as we cancel that out with cancel culture, then we are going to fall. And I think this country, the only way that it can die out is by suicide, because we can resist any foreign enemy, but we can't resist a struggle between ourselves. A government complicating things. Early on, when there began to be travel in space, there became a difficulty of writing in space. And it was found that you couldn't write in space with a pen because you needed gravity for the ink to flow down through a ballpoint pen. And so it wasn't working. And so NASA went to work, and a lot of, I think Russia probably participated in this as well, but a lot of money and time and resources was put into the development of a pen that could write upside down with gravity, without gravity, underwater, nearly on any surface. And thousands of hours and millions of dollars were spent on developing a pen that could write anywhere under extreme heat and with no gravity. And so the question becomes, well, we were still doing space travel. We were still participating in space travel during that time. So what did we write with? And the answer, Cody, I can see it on your face.
Well, I had one of those pens.
Oh, you did?
The Fisher Space Pen. Yeah, it was great. I appreciate it.
Oh, is that why you're smiling?
I know the answer to this.
What is it?
I know what the Russians used.
Yeah.
They used a pencil. You know?
You use a pencil.
Yeah.
And sometimes we look at it and we look so far beyond the mark that we bypass the simplest solution. And I want to get back to, okay, well, what is a simple solution to a complex problem right now? If you were to take a look at the most complex laws that we have currently, the tax code. The tax code, there's more than 10 million words in the tax code. And it is so difficult that there was recently a study where a fairly simple tax return was submitted to 46 different, very respected tax preparers. You know how many outcomes they got?
45?
46.
No kidding.
Yes.
All different.
46 for 46 different outcomes because they were all trying to interpret the tax code and they were all getting it different. And so some were vastly different, thousands of dollars difference. And I'm talking about a pretty generic tax return. So there's a problem with the system. And what's the fix? The fix is a flat tax. Now, a flat tax, a lot of people say, well, that's disproportionate. It's disproportionate for people that make less money because they don't have as much disposable income. And so those who make a lot of money need to help out those who are poor. Well, a flat tax actually does do that. If you make more money, you're actually putting more into the system with a flat tax. Let's say that I make $100,000 and I use of public services $5,000. Well, with a flat tax of just 10%, I'm putting in $10,000. Therefore, I'm contributing $5,000 more than I actually take out of society. Not to mention all the jobs that I create because of my innovation, because of the small business that I set up, and the people that I employ that can go on and buy groceries and build homes and buy cars, and the chain of prosperity continues on. But I'm actually putting in more than my fair share because my fair share is only what I take out. And so I want to demonstrate that a little clearer because I know a lot of people are still skeptics on the flat tax. And so I watched a YouTube video that had a fantastic scenario of a flat tax. And so it's on PragerU. And so if you want to look that up, PragerU, flat tax. They do a scenario with three brothers, and their names are Tom, Dick, and Harry. And they're all construction workers. And Tom, he works 20 hours a week, and Dick works 40 hours a week, and Harry works 60 hours a week. And we can all relate to that, you know? 20 hours a week is a part-time job, and sometimes we don't want to work more than that. Some of us work very hard and work 60 hours a week, and you know, we're working well after the 5 o'clock time period where you typical person checks out. So they make money respective on the amount of hours that they put in. So Tom makes $25,000, Dick makes $50,000, and Harry makes $75,000. Now they're all married, and it doesn't matter what gender that they chose to marry, right? They're just married, whatever. And so then each person, their wife, decides whether or not to work. And let's say Tom's wife, she elects not to work. That's fine. That's her choice. And Dick's wife, she decides to work part-time. And so she works 20 hours a week, and Harry's wife decides to work full-time, 40 hours a week. So at the end of the day, Tom's family makes $25,000. Dick's family makes $75,000, and Harry's family makes $125,000. Vastly disproportionate. Is it an equal outcome? No, but it was an equal opportunity. They're all brothers. They all grew up under the same roof, under the same circumstances, same opportunities. They just chose differently. And so therefore, they have different outcomes. And let's say that they all decide to build homes next to each other and make a little community, a family community. And so they build those homes. And all the homes are, they need water and sewerage, and they need electricity. And so they need infrastructure. They want a park as well for their kids to play at. So let's say that they put together initially the contract to have this infrastructure put in, and it costs $30,000, okay? Their homes are equally benefited from this infrastructure. Everybody needs the water, everybody needs the electricity, everybody needs a sewer. And then the bill comes, and they get together to decide how to pay for this $30,000 bill. And it seems pretty clear to Harry, who makes $125,000, well, we all benefit equally, so $10,000 a piece. And Tom, who only makes $25,000 a year, says, no, that's not fair at all. I can't afford that. And Dick says, well, I don't really think that's fair either. That's going to be a hardship on me. I can afford it, but it's going to be a hardship. And Harry says, well, why should I be paying all of this for you two just because I'm working 60 hours a week and because my wife decides to work full time? So they look at it three different ways. One is they can each pay $10,000, and Tom and Dick don't really agree with that. So they say, okay, well, what if we take the total sum of our income, $225,000, and we divide $30,000 by the $225,000, and that comes out to be about, oh, what was the percentage here? I had written it down, 16%. So based on that, each person would be paying a fraction of that. And so Harry would be paying $16,000, which of course is more than his proportionate share, but still it's in the ballpark. Dick would be paying $10,000, and Tom, who makes the least, he would be paying $3,400. And still he complains. He says, no, I don't agree with that. That's still a flat amount as far as percentage, and I don't agree with that. And so he says, we should do a proportion. If you make more, Harry, you should have to pay more. And so he comes up with his own figure, and he says, okay, let's do a graduated system where, Harry, you pay 16% of it. Dick, you pay 12% of it, and I will pay 4% of it. So that means, Harry, you're going to pay $20,000, and Dick, you pay $9,000, and Tom, you pay $1,000. Or that is vastly disproportionate, right? He's paying $1,000 for a benefit that is actually a $10,000 benefit to his family specifically, just because he chose to work 20 hours a week. That is the progressive tax. That's the tax system that we currently have in place. And what it's essentially doing is, it's hard to argue that Harry, who's working 60 hours a week and who his wife decides to work 40 hours a week, they're not being punished by having to pay $16,000 or $20,000 for the same infrastructure that benefits all three brothers' families equally. And that's the argument that I get to. I think that the flat tax is the easiest way. It's the pencil that writes in space. It's not sexy. It's not complicated. But you can imagine how much time would be saved on tax returns. It's estimated that $300 billion is used just in paying for tax preparers to prepare taxes to file with the IRS. And that's not taken into consideration the amount of time and effort that's lost because of the work that you miss in going to the tax preparer and all the other compiling issues. It's actually estimated to be upwards towards $900 billion to almost $1 trillion that is lost in our economy because our tax system is so darn difficult. Most people, they want to understand what they're getting into. And even if it's something that's difficult, even if it's something that's burdensome, if they can understand it, then they're okay with it, and they can plan for it. Nobody understands the tax system. Nobody does, right? 46 professional tax preparers couldn't come out with the same outcome on a pretty traditional tax return. So it's fair to say that our tax system is broken. We need to get the government out of solving solutions and back to protecting our rights. So the government basically has one purpose, and that is to make sure that our fundamental rights are not infringed upon, that nobody takes away my right to liberty. Nobody forces me to get a vaccine that I don't want to get. Nobody forces me to say something I don't want to say. Nobody forces me to endorse or celebrate a ceremony that I don't agree with. That is not the government's role. The government's role is to make sure my freedom is protected and my property is protected, and then let us figure out how to innovate and, based on our credentials, prosper. And that I believe, is the American dream. That's all the time that we have for today. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU Eldorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.